Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Music went hard, baby.
Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to my second show in a row of reviewing this episode of SmackDown. Kate apparently is having power issues, so we are reviewing the January 31st, 2025 episode of SmackDown. It's the go-home before the Royal Rumble, which is tomorrow. With me is Alexis Cardoza. We will be talking about this episode of SmackDown. If you would be so kind, please send in a super chat, send in a Humper chat. We will read it on the air. We will address your questions, queries. Got any big time predictions for the Royal Rumble? If it's not going to be Cena and it's not going to be Charlotte Flair, who do you think is most likely? Send those in. If you like, we got any hot takes about what's going on in WWE or across wrestling, send those in a super chat or at humperchats.com. Thank you so much. Alexis Cardoza, it's always good to see you. How are you doing?
Hey, my brother from another mother. This is your double shot of A today. I hope you guys are ready for us.
This is a two-piece of A's.
Oh, goodness. A great go-home show, Alex, I like to call it here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's this is what they do now. It's a big Royal Rumble show tomorrow. Like it's
yes,
four matches,
14 hours long. Yeah,
I mean, like, well, you got to figure out. I mean, like, this is one where I'm going, okay, each Rumble is going to be an hour long.
Yes, sir.
And a ladder match with Cody Rhodes in it that's 28 to 42 minutes long.
Very true.
And then, you know, you got a 2 out of 3 falls match, which it's a tag match. So 8 minutes and change, maybe, yeah, something like that. But you got the Rumble matches in there. They're going to be long. I get it. So to supplement those two matches, you get what should be a fantastic 2 out of 3 falls match. By all rights, if you give those two teams time and let them actually go, it should be the best match of the weekend by far.
By far. Yeah.
And then you've built this whole thing up, as evidenced by a very dramatic video package that they played. You've built this thing up between Kevin and Cody Rhodes, KO and Cody Rhodes, for a long time, since August. So wow, this is their big blow off. That's that as well. So all of this kind of, if it wasn't a third of the night is taken up by commercials on Peacock, it wouldn't feel that. Yes. Like if it was one of those things where you could watch this the day after or a couple of weeks down the road and fast forward through all of that stuff and just get a nice tight thing with two Rumble matches and two other title matches, it'd be fine. But to me, we'll see how tomorrow reads. But tonight, we got a women's U.S. title match. So that's something we'll talk about. And when we got some intrigue revolving around the women's title on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. So that's something. We will see where we're going after tomorrow, headed toward Elimination Chamber, which is in Canada this year. So that's how I have to say Elimination Chamber.
I forgot about that.
And we'll see where we're going from there. But tonight, it did feel a lot of, you know, let's try and gin up the crowd while putting in the least amount of effort into, you know, some of the stuff we're doing.
For sure. Yeah. Typical go home show though, you know, like you don't want anyone getting hurt.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, like even if they're not planning to have a one-on-one match and they're just heading off, like tonight, Motor City Machine Guns could have gotten terribly hurt, and thank God they didn't. Right. So yeah. You put them in a match that protects them, you know, 4-on-4. So.
Yeah. I mean, there are ways of doing that as well. All right. Well, I'm woefully out of the loop on one of those things that Luis is asking me about. I don't know anything about it, so that's my thing. But we started out with Michael Cole bringing in Indianapolis's favorite son and my least favorite commentator ever, Pat McAfee, who hams his way down to the ring. And you know what I mean? He's a big deal in Indianapolis. The crowd loves him. Good. I can't stand the dude. So,
same.
I started late, 10 minutes into the show, and I just hit the fast forward button and waited until that something happened that I wanted to see. And I got to the 9 minute and 20 second match, mark, which is when Kevin Owens came out. Because after whatever Michael Cole and Matt McAfee did, I didn't watch.
Yeah.
You know, like it, yeah. So, I didn't watch that. But Joe Tess was there to do his journalistic duty. And interview Kevin Owens in the interest of fairness. He brought out Kevin Owens, who is not at all interested in actually being interviewed by Joe Tess. which is so you there are a lot of things about my own proclivities aside in the amount of affection I have for Kevin Owens as a professional wrestler, meaning not just as the stuff he does in the ring, but all the stuff he does as a very realistic character. And the way he plays that, both facets of it, when he's a good guy or a bad guy, I've always been a huge Kevin Owens guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a big fan of this version of Cody Rhodes, but even if you go the other way, trying to look at a lot of this objectively, like Cody did do a lot of the thing. He did a lot of the things that Kevin Owens is accusing him of. Yeah. And I don't think it's in doubt whether or not he did the things. It's just whether or not you think that Kevin Owens overreacted to the things being done. And I think that you can objectively say that, yes, he overreacted. The problem I have with this whole thing is that everyone seems to just think, well, yeah, Cody did those things. Why wouldn't he? And I just don't agree with that particular thing.
Right. Well, he's also a good guy. You know, you expect him to be the most, you expect him to be calm. You expect him to be collective. You expect him to try to do the right thing and avoid himself getting in sucked in by Kevin Owens, you know, little games. And unfortunately, I mean, I guess this is the new Cody. This is what we're going to see every time he's nearing a championship title. Like, he's just, we know he's a good guy, but he's just gonna go berserker.
Right. Yeah. No, he's to me, he's always felt very righteous in his,
yeah, spirit. Yeah,
like to me, he believes the stuff he believes. But like when he turned on Sammy in NXT, I was like, now Kevin, hold on here. I know you're very, you very much believe you are in the right, but this feels like a little bit much. And now I'm like, probably shouldn't have power driven Randy Orton.
Yeah.
However, like, I could definitely see why he's upset with Cody Rhodes for sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That there's a lot of interesting things there with that. But the thing that happens here of note, because really nothing happens of note until the interruption.
Yeah.
Is that they have the titles, both titles on the little bar thing.
Yeah. The hanger.
Sitting there at like regular person height, And he says, I'm just going to take this one back, the Winged Eagle. Why did you guys put him up there in Atlanta and then drive them to wherever Raw was? Where was Raw? I don't know. Where was ever Raw was, and then drive them from there to SmackDown in up on the little bar thing just to have him reach up there and go, that's mine now. And
he leaves with
it. I thought Cody Rhodes was going to come out and go, hey, now, put that back where it belongs. But I guess now the only belt that will be suspended above the ring is Cody's belt.
Yeah. I don't know. They'll take it off his hands tomorrow.
Yeah.
And put it up somewhere. It's interesting that they've gone this long with the original title like that, mm-hmm. parading it. But, you know, they're known for their nostalgia, and they're known for bringing in fans like that, you know, perhaps fans that have been away for quite some time. Mm-hmm. You reel them in like, hey, Kevin Owens is running around with what? You know what I'm saying? I think it's pretty cool. It's nice, but at the same token, what? You know Cody's not ever losing, so Cody's going to pick up these belts tomorrow and retire the Winged Eagle or merge them. And you get an all new title, which could possibly.
But when they had both of them up there, I thought Cody bringing down both of them was going to lead him to debuting a brand new, newly designed gold eagle, Winged Eagle inspired new belt. But when it's just his old one, the goldy one, the one that looks like, you know, that thing, the one that looks like a toy. When it's just his up there with the WWE logo on, and I was like, I don't think that doesn't make sense. You merge them now, but
yeah. I mean, it would be interesting to see what they would come up with. I mean, they used to do this all the time. We're looking at it, right? We've seen Stone Cold, The Rocks, everyone had a custom belt. It would have been cool for Cody, who's held the title this long, to kind of have him do a little something, but they're all about branding, and I don't know if they go that route anymore.
Yeah. So he says, I don't want to be entered by you. I got my belt. I'm leaving. And then he is interrupted by CM Punk. Because he was like, everybody's in the ring on Monday saying, when I win the Royal Rumble, I'm coming after Cody. Well, what if Cody's not the champion after the Royal Rumble? What if I'm the champion? See, everybody's taking me for granted. CM Punk comes out because he was one of the guys he named. And so We just get this back and forth between Punk and KO, naming bad things about the other guy, and it all depends on, you know, who you're in the mood for. You know what I mean? I'm a Kevin Owens dude, always have been, probably always will be. I would be much more into Punk if he was leaning a little heelish in his promo with Cody on Monday. If we get more of that coming out of Rumble, much better for me. Because CM Punk, who comes in, isn't it great to be alive in insert name of city? Wow, insert name of hockey team is sure having a great season. That guy, I got no time for. But if we're getting back into some bite in those promos, CM Punk, maybe then we could actually turn it around and see what's happening.
Yeah, I've sort of kind of just we've spoken about this last year when he came back. I just kind of been, okay, cool. He's just another pawn in this chess game. I don't think of him as anything else other than that. I think that he kind of like, I got so far behind him when he left the company and the way that he presented himself and how upset he was and like how he got played and all this stuff. I got behind him so much. Specifically like word after word after word after word. And, you know, I've mentioned it in the past. I don't come from a bad neighborhood, but, you know, we kids grew up in the 90s. You know, we call that a punk ass bitch if you come back on your word and all of a sudden you're licking the boot. You know what I'm saying? Like, so to me, he's just been another pawn. Great. Do what you got to do. Win your matches.
Right.
He might very well win the damn Rumble. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, cool. Like, you're spewing all this stuff with Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is just a masterful on the mic, man. Like,
yeah. The thing that I have often thought would at least be a nice, neat little package to wrap up some loose threads. Not that I want this, but at least it would wrap up the loose thread of there's that favor that Paul Heyman owes Punk.
Yeah.
And yeah. Punk wants nothing more in life than to be in the main event of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And if somehow we got Roman in one of the main events of WrestleMania versus wow. whomever, and Punk doesn't win the Rumble, doesn't win Elimination Chamber, and he's out. He's an odd man out looking. He does not have a path to, but he uses the favor with Paul
yeah.
to get somehow get into that main event that Roman Reigns is also in. So I've often thought that that would be a very, because that would piss off Roman, and it would at least like would be part of this thing of like Roman, like Paul, I trusted you. I sure. know, but we owe him a favor. He helped us.
Yeah.
And maybe that would be part of it. So I honestly don't know. That favor might be one of those things like the lockbox between Vince and Shane that just fades away and they never bring up again.
Yeah.
Or it might be really important, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting. We'll see. I mean, we'll see. Tomorrow should be fun. A lot of surprises. This is a great thing about the Rumble, right? You got so many names thrown in. You're going to have names that are going to appear back into the company.
Yeah.
On both women's and men's side. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun to kind of just sit there. It is my favorite. I talk a lot of ish, but it is one of my favorite WWE pay-per-views. It was my very first pay-per-view that I saw as a kid. And it's forever ingrained in my head as the one, you know, that my parents would buy. Because back in the day, kids, we would have to hit the old buy button on the cable box.
Like three or four friends would go over to this guy's house, and we'd all pitch in. We'd all give. He would have ordered it, and we would all hand him cash.
Yes. Yep.
And that was that. We all so none of us paid the full price. We all pitched in. We spent it like five ways.
Yes.
And he had this big screen TV.
Yes.
And I remember watching the whatever, which Rumble was it that Austin eliminated everybody and sat there looking at his fake watch?
Oh, I remember that.
I vividly remember that. And everybody on the couch going,
I remember that.
This dude is the coolest mother effer in the world. Like
I want to say 97 or 98. I think so.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, 98. Because I know it was in 96 was when he created the Stone Cold character.
Yeah,
we did the same thing. We had a gentleman that I remember once we were in high. Once I was in high school and I was out with friends, I remember like every pay per view, he would be like, "Yo, I'll buy you guys. Just bring pizza and snacks and food. Don't worry about bringing me money." Good times.
Yeah. Oh, in the end, like Punk's like, "Hey, let's fight right now." Let's fight right now, and then Kevin Owens didn't. He walked away. And then we get Punk talking to the camera. I knew it. I knew he wouldn't. God, which, of course, makes Kevin Owens look like a chump and a coward. And Punk look like a badass. And I just feel like that should be maybe not inverted, but like nobody's got to be made to look like a chump and a coward. It's just I know it's heels and what they do with heels, but whatever. There were backstage segments where Nakamura is staring at people. So
he's
not doing anything right now. He's going to be in the Rumble. But we don't know exactly who he's targeting. We'll see.
Creepy Mora.
That happens. Yeah, he's definitely Shin's Creep. Nakamura.
Shin's Creep.
Jimmy Uso cuts a promo while walking to the ring, talking about doing the 360 slam dunk because they are, in fact, in a basketball arena.
Yeah.
And then he defeats Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo Hayes continues to just to look great. Jeez. And be booked to lose. He had I was fine with him losing three matches to Andrade in like they I guess there was no real winner in the seventh match between them. They went and tied at three, and then that match ended with a no contest or DQ or whatever.
Typical.
So like, but he looked great in all the matches, and he won three of them. And I was like, this is what's going to catapult him. And that was November. Right? Wasn't it November? Like, they had the big triple threat in...
Yeah.
Actually, the matches were in September and October. Like, the match that he got when there was a triple threat with him and Andrade and LA Knight, wasn't that November? So...
Yeah.
Like, I've been waiting for them to like, okay, well, we did this already. Him looking great. Winning some, losing some. He's just ready to take that next step. And then they seem to have downgraded him to multiple losses to Jimmy Uso. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and, Big Jim.
Big Jim. But Carmelo Hayes does in this match, just impromptu, off the top of his head, an Uso splash, better, higher, farther than either Uso has ever done one, and then a minute later it gets pinned. So, you know, it is kind of the thing that WWE is, where you're a fantastic in-ring worker.
Sure.
That means very little to us.
Right.
We decide if that is going to be used to get you over or not.
Right.
And right now, I mean, it's hard to get that over when the great in-ring work doesn't lead to victories, because eventually your audience is going to go, this guy's not a threat to anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I would assume, maybe not anymore, but back in the day, if you booked guys to have great matches, but they lost all of them, the fans would lose interest and stop actually the match is going to be good, but the guy's just going to lose again.
Yeah.
Maybe now, maybe they've trained their audience to not care about anybody's win-loss record and just accept that WWE can push a button on a console and that guy all of a sudden is a world champion material.
Yeah, I mean, it's a show. It's a show mixed in with acrobatics, you know? So exactly what you said. They can just drop. And I like what you said there, and I want everyone who's on the chat to listen to what Alex just said there with the push of a button.
Yeah.
Because that is exactly what they're going to be doing with Penta. Everyone's going to love Penta, and because he came from somewhere else, remember this, and on a dime. They've been really doing a great job of pressing that button for former AEW talent,
yeah.
You know? So, and then we'll see where we're at mid-year with all this. I think the only one that has really had a shining star on him has been Cody. I don't know what they're doing with Jade, but things will eventually get clearer as now we pass the Rumble.
So Rafael Garcia is here with a super chat. Thank you, Rafael, saying predicting Charlotte and Cena will win. Wouldn't be surprised if Darth Nakamura's faces Priest for the title. I mean, I think Priest will be pretty busy with Jacob Fatu for the time being, but he might along the way. And then asked, did Michin get Iggy Azalea to do her music? I don't know. I don't know that, but we got another Chelsea Green versus Michin match. I think the only matches we've got for Chelsea Green have been some variant of Chelsea Green.
That's all it's been.
She faced B-Fab once, but beat her pretty quickly. But that was part of the Michin storyline.
B-Fab and Michin are a duo.
So we got them facing each other before the U.S. title tournament. And then we got them facing each other in the U.S. tournament finals.
Yeah.
And since then, that feud has only continued. And I don't – is there a clause in a contract where these two women can only face each other?
It is the only fight that will happen until Charlotte gets here.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to – she's going to be in the Rumble, but I don't think she's going to win. But here's the thing. There's going to, you know, they like to sprinkle storylines within the Rumble, inside of the Rumble itself. So we can probably see something there.
Well, yeah, I have no doubt that Michin is going to eliminate Chelsea Green. That's If you can put money on it, if you can put money on individual eliminations, Michin eliminating Chelsea Green is almost a certainty.
Oh my God.
Lay odds on that. Figure out what that is and put money on it, because that's easy money.
Oh. Let's not do that.
No. But here's the deal. Match is fine. They do good work together.
Yeah.
B-Fab is out there. Piper Niven ends up pulling Chelsea Green out of the ring after Michin hits eat defeat. And then Chelsea Green keeps like rolling out of the ring and Mia Yim keeps chasing her. And eventually Chelsea Green gets a hold of Mia Yim's kendo stick that she brought to the ring side area and blatantly hits Mia Yim in full view of the ref, knowing that it would cause her being disqualified.
Sure.
And so we're getting this again. Like, there's is again, I am honestly asking if there is a clause in a contract where these two women can only face each other, or the holder of the women's U.S. championship must face each challenger a minimum of 12 times before she can move on to the next challenger. I don't know. It would explain the booking, but it doesn't seem like why we're doing that.
Maybe that's just the new way of doing things. I don't know. With all the women in the roster, how the hell do you not have, you know, a mashup of fights? I mean, AEW does it all the time with their women. They just put women together and say, hey, fight for that title. You know what I'm saying? Like, why haven't you been able to figure that out, especially with Chelsea? Like, I don't understand this new thing where they're having matches over and over and over and over together. It makes no sense, unless they're just ribbing us and they're having a good old laugh in the back end. And they're like, we're going to be able to do whatever we want. And the crowd here in the arena is going to cheer regardless.
Right. Yeah. Regardless of whether or not they cheer, because some of the times, like, you notice they don't really care about the matches. They don't really care about the matches. As long as they pay greatly inflated prices
to be in the
times 16,000 people, like, that's all they care about. Once those people stop paying the prices for that many seats, then they might change things.
Yeah.
As long as that many people pay that much to come and see a Friday SmackDown, they're not going to change anything about it. You know what I mean? They might actually lower it to see where the threshold is. How bad can we make these shows and have the same amount of people still pay the same amount of money to come see it?
Well, you know, you said that, and it's interesting because everything that comes up always goes down or plateaus, right? Yeah. In a certain way. And I'm certain and sure that there's going to be a point in time. These tickets are inflated to all hell. So when you hear in the arena, or you hear every single pay-per-view, this is the highest grossing, this is the high. Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. Effing taxes and everything else, you know, not even taxes, but just inflation itself has made these tickets so crazily unaffordable. I
mean, inflation at even at 5% isn't,
oh my God,
what
yeah.
this is. People are saying that the last time they were in my town, I got a front row seat for, like, you know, $100. The same ticket now was $2,000. You know what I mean? Like, when you're getting that kind of markup because people are willing to pay it.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, there's no reason not to do it.
It'll eventually, you'll see that there's these big patterns. Right now, we're in a pattern. It's only year two of this pattern, right? This is only Triple H's second year taking over, mm-hmm. like full year. Like, you know, we've seen pieces move, people come back, people shift, and then that person that I'm talking about is completely gone now. So, you know, it's Paul's WWE now, right? So just give it time, because we had this in the 90s, okay? In the 90s, we had the Attitude Era that was so ultra hot and ultra high. And then, you know, so this is where we got to just keep an eye out on where things go. And you just mentioned it. When you have matches, repeated matches like this, where they think they can just basically get away with it because they have people in the arena. Mm-hmm. You know, there's only a matter of time before people were sitting on their hands, Alex. I was watching the crowd. It's unfortunate because the girls kill it. But
yeah, they don't, like, this isn't, they didn't listen. I love Chelsea Green, and I've always been a very big fan of the work that Mia Yim does.
Yeah.
The crowd didn't come here to see them. The crowd came here to see other people. And one of the people they came to see is Pat McAfee. You know what I mean? And, like, that's why they went crazy for that guy. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. And then we got another thing later where Pat McAfee shows up to introduce Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, Tyrese Halliburton's here. He's a guy who you can see play basketball in this arena.
3 hours is a lot. They it's just, you got a lot. They're doing a lot. It's 2 hours for a go-home show sometimes drags, and it feels a little crazy. We've had shows where we've kind of just sat here when we had you come in, you know, towards the middle of the show, and you give us your, mm-hmm. you know, your what was happening. And it's just like 3 hours now? I don't even have freaking words because a lot of the words that I want to use are curses. And I'm a professional broadcaster, friends.
Yeah. So we got our Rumble by the numbers, and there were a lot of numbers. Ooh. And I get it. There have been a lot of Rumbles, and people are in the Rumble for a long time sometimes, and sometimes they are not. That is basically what it was. This person holds the record for the longest amount of time in the Rumble, but sometimes people enter the Rumble and they're eliminated immediately. Here are some highlights of all that comedy. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. If this is your first Rumble ever, this is a awesome primer for it. I have seen every Royal Rumble since 1997. You know what I mean? Like, it's so I get it. I know how the Royal Rumble works. I understand.
And the only way that you can win is if you throw 29 other contestants out of the out of the ring. So you, there's no other way. There's no other way
you yourself throw 29 other people. If you only throw 28 other people, you don't win.
You don't win. Math.
Yeah. Damian Priest came out to cut a promo. I'm here, and you know it's good to be here.
Yeah.
He did the thing of like, I basically came from nothing to become the world heavyweight champion. Now I'm here to win championships again. I think that it's great to get Damian Priest away from the Judgment Day.
I love it, and I want him to be full Boricua. Bring him, you know, full Puerto Rican. Oh, like, bring him on.
Yeah.
I want him. Even in his song, he's singing it heavy metal in Spanish. You know, like, I'd like him to kind of make that. I understand that this is his gimmick, right? Yeah. And but I would love for him to like really embrace it. I've said this to Kate. I would love for Savio Vega to come back and be his mentor, right? Like, it'll be so fun to just have him. Like, we don't have representation like that right now. Our Latin representation right now lies in the hands of Penta because he just came in super hot.
Right.
Legado disappeared, you know, and then we have Andrade. He's already been boxed into just being that guy. Yep. So,
Yeah. Damian Priest is interrupted by Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga. And this is why I said that I had hoped that what they were doing with Solo Sikoa before he brought in Fatu was actually laying the groundwork for when Fatu would show up. I thought it would be a really cool thing if Solo Sikoa is a number two to whomever the guy is. He was the number two to Roman, and he will be the number two to the new guy. Because we can't trust Roman, he lost the titles. So the Tribal Council is sending the new guy.
Yeah.
And what I'm doing is making sure everything is in place for when he gets here. Because if Jacob Fatu shows up and immediately Solo Sikoa shows him deference and he is the I love you Jacob Fatu guy, then all of a sudden you could have Jacob Fatu cutting these promos from the jump.
Yeah.
And by this point now, instead of him having basically being a force of nature, but who never got a chance to talk up until like, I don't know, a month and a half ago, maybe. Then by this point, going into the Rumble, he would be a serious contender to possibly win it and get a match at Mania. Because not only is he everything that you want him to be in the ring, this guy is an absolute, he is the Samoan werewolf. He will tear things up. But when he gets on the microphone, he is so charismatic. Like everything he says, the turn of phrase, the way he says it, the belief in everything he says, the force of it. He's just he's so great at this. And this promo, if you haven't seen it, this is probably the one thing I would say on SmackDown that you should probably go and find. It's just him talking to Priest about how you and I aren't so different, but I'm still gonna kick your butt. There's a lot of, but there's so much more to it, and every single turn of phrase in there. Great. So good.
Yeah, he's definitely I watched him live in Cicero Stadium in Chicago when he was in MLW. I also met MJF for the first time that night, a couple years back. I want to say maybe 2018, 2019. And it was crazy. I mean, he was just all over the ring. He can speak. He can, like, fight. It's just incredible to see where he's at now and what he can do. I'm excited for him. And as a matter of fact, on Wrestling with Freddie, he was picked by Jeff to win the Rumble. So he was like, I'm going with him. But, I mean,
like, if they're smart, they look at what the reaction to what he did to Braun.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody was hanging on everything he was saying in this promo.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, just there's the moment where in this thing that Priest just out of nowhere kicks Tama Tonga in the face and Fatu watches him fall. And then there's this amazing slow burn take back up to Priest with the smile and the grill. And you can feel the crowd's energy go, oh, like that is something that you can't force. The crowd does that or it doesn't. Like that's an important thing. There are going to be, I mean, listen, if they don't do this, they're really dumb. The moment in the Rumble tomorrow where Roman and Jacob Fatu are in there together, just the two of them.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody's, like, selling in the corner, and it's just those two guys tearing into each other for 40 seconds. Like, there are going to be lots of moments where we're going to see people, like, reacting to Jake. I hope he gets in there and is in there for a long time, eliminates a lot of people. Like, if you told me you thought he was going to be among the final four, I would say, good. That's a smart thing. Like, let's start building this dude up. I don't think it's out of line to think that he could be in a world title match at Mania next year.
Yeah.
Like, he's really great. He could be a world champion before the year is out. He's excellent at all of this stuff. And people are just now getting to see, if they did not check out the way I did when I heard he was coming in, let me look at this Jacob Fatu guy. Oh, my God, look at how he wrestles. And then just watch one of his promos and go, why is this? Because nothing he says feels like it was scripted by Bruce Pritchard. Not a word of it. That's the best part about it, is none of it feels like it came out of some dude's word processor. It feels like it came out of his noggin in the moment, because that's how he talks, man.
Yeah, he's I like that he refers to himself as a thug. You know, and he's like, I come from the streets too, bro. Like, I know what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like that. That's the attitude he should have. He's built that way. He looks that way. He looks like he'll destroy you. Paul Heyman already mentioned the fact that, you know, who let these animals in?
Yeah.
You know, and all this other stuff. They're from the rough streets or blah, 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 blah. Like, yeah, for sure. Now let them run shot.
Right. So here's the way that I would book his first entrance. The guy who comes in before him is Omos. And clears everybody. Choke slams, power bombs, everything that he was doing in Noah. He eliminates like two guys during the time between when he comes in and when the next guy comes in. Everyone has been laid to waste. It's just Omos standing in the middle of the ring, and Jacob Fatu comes in. And Omos does not last the 60 seconds or 90 seconds or whatever it is between. Fatu just wrecks him, just goes off, buzzsaws him, takes him out by himself. Like, you start because Omos isn't doing anything at Mania. Let's be honest. We love Omos. You can do whatever you want to do with him afterwards.
Yeah.
But you immediately set up that guy as the ultimate threat and then immediately shut him down with Jacob Fatu and go, if he can take out Omos all by himself when Omos destroyed everybody else in the ring, what chance do the rest of these guys have? There's always the moment of, what chance do the rest of these guys have? But with Jacob Fatu, you actually believe that stuff, you know?
Yeah, I definitely think that he's definitely one of them that I would say, you know, put him in like Elimination Chamber. Mm-hmm. The amount of chaos and I mean, destruction that man could do inside that cage. Mm-hmm. A moonsault off one of the pods, bro.
No, here's the thing about Jacob Fatu is that he goes into one of the pods. The other two guys are fighting, And before anything happens, he just kicks his way out of the pod yes. and beats both guys up and pins them both. And he sits and waits for the next pod to open. Come on, let's do some real stuff with Jacob Fatu. Make him into an absolute monster.
I agree. Because
that is what he can do. He's so great.
I agree.
Meat Normus says, hello, partners. Were any vehicles destroyed or was anyone sent to a local medical facility? Was an ambulance flipped? I miss when go-home shows were man. No, things happened. Nobody got arrested. No one got arrested and kicked out the police car window. None of that happened.
I know. I would have loved for those old school shows like that. Where they had pure chaos. Keyword chaos for me is just that's what I love. Like you just mentioned, flipping cars over, people getting thrown off roofs. You know, like some good old stuff, man. Bring that stuff back. People want that.
Mm-hmm. We got Motor City Machine Guns and Los Garza versus DIY and Pretty Deadly. Before this match goes, we have Motor City Machine Guns, who I know you're a huge fan of. coming up to Los Garza and says, listen, we know you guys don't like us. We're not huge fans of yours either. But what we really want to know is, are you guys ready to win tonight? Which is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard a wrestler ask another wrestler. As opposed to what? Lose tonight? Are you guys ready to lose tonight? Are you guys ready to win tonight? What does that even mean? They have Alex Shelley, who's been in the game for 20 years. A former world champion in TNA, ask his partner for the evening, are you ready to win? I think the answer should obviously be yes.
They are so white meat baby faces that they're like, hey, listen, let's not listen to what they're saying. Listen up. We have to win this match here, Gigali, because we are the Motor City Machine Guns from Detroit.
They have baby faced them
super, you know what I mean?
And it's like because they're little and they're fast, you know what I mean? And therefore, they got to be like they got to be that, you know what I mean?
I would love it for them to just go full. I think them to full heel would be really fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've never been a big thing of like, well, if you're heel, you have to wrestle this way,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, if you're better, if you're an a hole to everybody. But you win your matches because you run faster than them.
That's true.
Why? I mean, like, you can cut promos and be an a-hole. But the problem is they would make them change their style. And I love their style. Ping pong all over the place. They are the senior circuit version of Fraxia.
They really are.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's fun. I like it. But anyway, the Garza thing, if you win tomorrow, we're coming after you. So. We don't know. Mm-hmm. This is just a thing we're doing for
now. And Pretty Deadly's just thrown into it as fodder. Like, they're just
candy
right now.
DIY and Pretty Deadly. This is they're especially Tommaso Ciampa, not so nice to Pretty Deadly.
He is not nice.
Los Garza leave 2/3 of the way through the match. They just say, peace, we're leaving. And then, so it's just down to the Motor City Machine Guns versus four guys, except for Tommaso Ciampa accidentally runs over and kicks one of them, whichever one. I'm not sure. Brown-haired yes boy or blonde-haired yes boy, one of the two, kicks him off the apron. And the other guy is like, that wasn't very nice. And he just steps off the apron. So Tommaso Ciampa has nobody to tag to. And then he gets rolled up. So we're pinning our tag champs before the 2 out of 3 falls tomorrow.
Yeah.
Just cause instead of having Pretty Deadly take the loss because it proves something. I don't know. So tomorrow the 2 out of 3 falls match almost certainly will be won by DIY because wrestling math. So.
Of course it will. I don't think they're taking the titles off of those boys. They're, you know what it is too, man. They finally found their stride. I feel like that a lot of start and stop, you know, and even when they got back together, it wasn't clicking yet. And I feel like now they're really taking off, which is great. It's good for them.
Yeah.
But, you know, bring back, you know, this is something you were just talking about. Like they're small. All the tag teams in WWE are pretty small. I want Remember back in the day when we had like Demolition and the Natural Disasters and the Mountie, whatever, Men and Dollar Man and IRS. Those were huge wrestlers back in the day.
Yeah.
Tag team wrestling
the Barbarian
has.
Oh my God. You know what I mean? Like,
and Stone Cold and Triple H. Now they're all shrunk.
Right. Because the tag team division is the fun division.
Correct.
It doesn't really matter division. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, that's kind of the way they book it. Like, we're seeing now what looks to be a really fun, like, Haas club being built up in the tag division AEW. Yes. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. But over here, you're right. It's like, this is where you put all the little fellas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is the kids' table. That's what the tag division is, the kids table at Thanksgiving dinner. That's
Freddie would always say that when he used to speak to the old man, if you guys know who the old man is,
yeah.
That he hated tag team wrestler because he would have to pay four people for one match. And he was not for it. So he would, you know, so that's, I mean, that's, I guess that's in the late, you know, 90s into the 2000s when things kind of, like I said before, plateaued and then kind of started like easing away. But yeah, he hated tag team wrestling.
Well, I mean, I think we should probably bring in the actual star of the show now. I'm just thinking.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to proudly announce that Miss Kayfabe is finally entered.
We can start the show now.
The broadcast.
Mm-hmm. We can start. Well,
anyway, so we started off the show with CM Punk. No way.
So sorry. I had a weird little power outage thing, but thank you guys, my Alexes, for holding us down. Very much appreciated.
Double A's MCO. Well, that's what we're here for. If anyone's young enough to or old enough to know what that commercial is.
Kate is MCO. And we
are Kate is MCO. Kate, I figured you were... the MCO. Yeah. I was thinking Motor City Machine Guns, but no.
Yeah, no.
That made me throw up.
Double A MCMG.
Hey, hello, and thank you so much for joining us.
Now that you finally made it to your room, how's Jericho Cruise? I'm just kidding.
Oh, let me tell you where I'm not. Let me tell you where I've not been, brother.
Just so that you guys know, when she said her power was on, I'm like, hey, Kay, have fun at the Jericho Cruise.
I would have gladly rather have been there than what I was dealing with for the past hour and a half or so. But finally made it. How we doing, my Alexes? Did you remember the ad read? I'm gonna guess not.
Not yet.
I haven't found
the perfect segue yet.
Yeah, we're looking for segues.
Thank God I'm here. Is all I'm saying.
Because you do perfect segues. Yes,
guys. It's Royal Rumble season, baby.
She's gonna. There she is.
I mean, it is.
I love Royal Rumble season, even when it's not the best. I love it. And I had to come on here, even though I'd already given Alex the show, because I was like, I can't let him torpedo the best of the PLEs. I won't let him do it.
We haven't. We've actually been, we both love, and I told Alex, Royal Rumble was the very first pay-per-view I remember watching as a kid back when TVs were 13 inches in black and white. So, you know.
It was my first live event, the 2011 one.
We saw that. We saw Baby Kay. I was like, oh, look at Baby Kay.
I remember I went from work right over to the show and I bought my Royal Rumble t-shirt back when t-shirts were not like $60 and they were closer to $20. I was working at a PR agency that had an office in Boston and I was like, look, I got to do this. This is my first event. But thank you guys sincerely for holding it down. I did want to pop on here too because we're not technically fully in agreement with BetOnline.ag, but darn it, we intend to work with them again. And Sean Ross Sapp said, if you want to go give them the rundown, by all means, give them the rundown. So John Cena is at a plus 100 right now. Which makes him your leader in the clubhouse. What's actually crazy about the rundown for these is so many people have been announced that like the odds are actually a little bit clearer than they probably would be, but there's still some surprises that you could take a waiver on if you wanted to, but there's There's a lot of interesting ones going on BetOnline.ag. So you can head over there. You got some dark horses that you could check out over there as well. But the women's one, Charlotte Flair leading the charge there at a minus 375. Not a surprise. I think her and Bianca Belair are probably the two closest, but Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss, Io Sky, and Liv Morgan also in the mix on that one. But Charlotte Flair feels like a probable winner. That feels right to me. Cody Rhodes at a whopping minus 4,000. So if you think that there's a slight chance in hell for Kevin Owens, which I feel a little bit more after tonight, go put a little money on him because I'll tell you what.
That's not bad. Minus 4,000 odds. If Cody loses the ladder match, he is definitely winning the Royal Rumble for the third straight year.
Exactly. And I'll tell you what, they had Jordan Grace at a minus like 10,000. I turned 25 bucks into like 200 bucks or something crazy because I knew from Joel Pearl that that story was headed in a different direction. DIY at a minus 400 to retain those titles too. So Royal Rumble for the men is interesting because there's nobody in the negatives, which is generally a sign that the field is a little stilted. But Cena, Punk, Rollins, kind of the three front runners on that side. And then when you get into Reigns and The Rock and Jey Uso, those start to pull away a little bit. But
if Alex and I were 1 and 2 and the show's almost over, does that make Kate number 30, maybe 27?
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's what I should have done when I got on screen. I should have said I took somebody out so that I could be here.
That's right.
See that?
So what did you guys cover? I heard you talk in some tag picture when I came in.
Yes, we've left off at the Naomi and Liv stuff, and
okay,
yeah, we're doing it chronologically because that's how I roll. I know you guys do things all out of order, all things akimbo.
I gave you like 8 minutes warning, and you don't adjust to exactly how I do things. How dare you? But thank you sincerely so much. I would have been. It was funny, actually, as I was getting on here, I was like, this is the second most eventful thing to happen to Alex around Royal Rumble season or the day before Royal Rumble. True. You had a Rumble baby. Mm-hmm.
It's all right. I know.
Yep. Kate, how are you feeling about the women's tag picture? How's it going? Good? Yeah? Awesome. Because that's about how I'm feeling.
Yeah, it's tough. I think it's really hard too because you and I cover NXT, and they really had a chance to A, do something really fun, or B, at least let us believe something kind of fun was going to happen with Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson, and then they tipped the hand with the booking. So I think there's an extra layer of what's going on with this nonsense when we follow NXT so closely because something cool felt like it was cooking, then it peeled away. They have this weird alley that they have to carve out for sure of how are we going to get our current tag champion Bianca Belair to Rhea Ripley? Like that feels like the creative bridge that they have to, or gap that they have to figure out how to bridge. And what has been true this whole time is we don't know what the deal with Jade Cargill is. Sean hasn't reported anything except that she's listed as injured internally. It sounded like it wasn't that severe of an injury, but like, we don't know that. We don't know if Royal Rumble's the right timing for her to come back. So part of what's a little bit cloudy about the women's tag picture, I feel like, is the champions are being held together by a story that is definitively about Bianca and Jade probably not working as a tag team together. It feels like everything else is stalled there. But you and I talked on Tuesday that Liv and Raquel going into Mania as tag champions would be a good spot for Liv and Raquel to be in because it feels like Liv especially deserves to be on that WrestleMania card, but it doesn't feel like there's a proper singles program to get her there on either the mid-card titles or the world title. So I don't hate that side of it, but it just feels very muddy right now. My Alexes, my dear Alexes who saved me today. Thank you.
So muddy.
The Liv Morgan being in some people's minds, the MVP of WWE programming for 2024, she needs to be in a Mania match. And like, she's not winning the Royal Rumble and she's not winning the Elimination Chamber. Like, I just don't think that's going to happen. So her being tag champs makes sense to find a way in there. Somebody that I forgot that probably needs to figure out a way to be on the card this year as well is Damian Priest.
Yes.
Like, he was champion, world heavyweight champion for a bit, for a large chunk of 2024. And usually when you have somebody who has a reign like that, they figure out a way to put them on the card the following year. I think it's possible that he's the opponent for Nakamura, but it's also very possible they just do Jacob Fatu versus Damian Priest as the Mania program. Them eliminating each other during the Royal Rumble, like leading into them both being in the Elimination Chamber, and it like, these two can't stop fighting, blah, 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 something like that. That seems like something they might actually...
Your WWE announcer voice was alarmingly accurate. That was like, that was on the nose, but I agree with you. I was very excited when I saw Damian Priest and Fatu face off today, because I also liked the content of their promo. It felt so good to have a Damian Priest that is moved on from the Judgment Day stuff. Even though we immediately entered a mini numbers game thing there for a second. Fatu, man, as far as like next guy up stuff, it's right there. But the top of the card is so heavy right now, it's kind of interesting. But Alex, I didn't even let I didn't even let you weigh in on the women's tag. And what do you think of this Fatu and Priest stuff?
Oh, yeah, we finished talking about the Fatu and Priest. I thought it was, I think it's right around there. They need to stop creating these new weird names, Big Jims and the King of the Streets or whatever they call him. They call him friggin' Priest. Like, please stop that. Just call him Damian Priest. Stop being so entertaining and so corny, you know?
I gotta say, with Big Jim, too, not only does that sound like a sitcom neighbor's name, we talked about that last week.
Stop.
But when you set the bar at Big Bronson Reed as like, this is how we define Big.
Yeah.
And Big. Then SOBs yes. are defined by Bronson Reed, or by Braun Strowman, rather.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Like, I feel like he's medium large. I feel like he's medium large, Jim.
Medium Jim.
Big is defined as those guys. I feel like medium large James doesn't really have the... All of that is
to get back to Naomi gets her win back on Liv.
Yeah, she does.
And then immediately they get double teamed and beat up after the match, settling really nothing, and just continuing to let us know, if we didn't already know, that this feud is still continuing.
Got a few of those tonight.
Naomi and Bianca will lose the tag team titles to Liv and Raquel at some point here in the next month, so that we have Bianca free and clear to be in the Elimination Chamber. I feel like that's one of that's got to be a thing that we get to. So the sooner the better on that. If I don't need to see these two teams fight that much more if we know where we're going with this. So
agreed. Well, did you already talk about Chelsea and Meechan?
We did.
I'll just add in then. Speaking of things that we don't need to keep running back, this ending in a DQ certainly feels like this is a continuation. That one a little bit more frustrating, because at least the women's tag titles have a means to an end with that. Meechan and Chelsea, I'm like, this whole title came about so that the women in the mid card would have something extra to fight for. And now you've only had two people fight for it. We'll see if something happens with Piper there, but the her security guard, or what were they calling her?
No, the Secret Hervis.
Secret Hervis. That's right. She's great at that. Like, Piper, because Chelsea is so incredible. Like, sometimes Piper gets lost in the shuffle a little bit, but her just doing the, like, all clear stuff she's been great. But I would love for more people to get involved. We'll see if after Royal Rumble, Roxanne Perez or somebody else enters that picture. I think that could get interesting.
Yeah. The Miz has problems with Nick Aldis and uses this time with Nick Aldis to insult Andrade. And then does he's right behind me, isn't he? And then Andrade is like, let us have a match tonight. And no, let's fight. And Miz is like, anytime, any place. And Nick Aldis is like, well, seeing as how I only scheduled two matches for tonight, why don't you fight tonight? And they do.
They're setting them up.
Andrade wins, but I would hazard that it took him too long. The Miz is deathly afraid of fighting anybody, and then when he does, like, they're like, oh, let's book him to be that guy's equal. So then why are you so afraid of fighting people? It just, I understand. I get that that is what heels do, especially in this company, but it just feels weird. Like if you're so afraid of fighting people, then they should book you so that you are A, running away from them during the match, and then B, losing in less than 3 minutes, as opposed to holding his own absolutely and kicking out of giant moves by Andrade the whole time. Andrade has having also a different thing, but similar to Carmelo, where they had that amazing series of matches against each other that led to a triple threat U.S. title match, I believe in November. And since then, like, we got Carmelo jobbing out every which way to anybody who's in the ring with him, and Andrade struggling mightily to beat The Miz, who, regardless of his resume, is certainly treated in promos and such as though he is the worst wrestler on the roster. It just feels kind of incongruous to me.
Yeah, I think they were having a hard time of The Miz is here. He does have this resume. We need to, quote unquote, establish him on this brand with the fact that that's not who the character is. And it's also just Andrade is so incredible. And by their terms, we're supposed to believe that he's pretty important. Right, like he's been in the mid-card title. He's picked up some quality and important wins, certainly more so than The Miz has been picking up quality wins. So I'm with you in that this was a little bit more even. My guess is they're just trying to, like, The Miz is here on SmackDown now, and he's an important guy. One of those things is my guess.
As soon as whatever's going on with whatever member of the Wyatt Six is dinged up, as soon as that person is healthy, they're going to show up and The Miz is going to crap his pants and run away. You know what I mean? And so then Andrade, like, being a guy who's like, I want to fight you because you said mean things about me. And then, like, he was hitting him with, like, Spanish flies from the top rope. And The Miz is like, I got out of that one. That's not a problem for me. Now he hit him.
Blue Chew, main event performance, main event confidence. And
no.
Nope. No idea.
No, okay. Hit him with that spinning back elbow, which knocked him out entirely. There you go. That's it.
Kate, are you personally attacking me mid-sentence there as he's trying to talk?
I'm not. I don't question what's going on in my house with electricity and with technology anymore, but sometimes my keyboard is a little bit sticky, but...
And if you too want to have, never mind.
Well, hold on.
if you have a problem with a sticky keyboard.
Fellas. After midnight. After midnight. You can do it. But
I didn't say anything. I stopped myself before I could even go. So if you thought it, it's on you.
This was literally wasn't trying to, like, no sell your thing. I just was like, I'm going to forget what I was going to say about Miss Andrade before. Say it now.
No selling.
Miz and Andrade, I feel like, was one of those matches that was like, we have a 3-hour show now, and so here's this match.
Yeah.
Because this doesn't really advance anything other than you got to see The Miz and you got to see Andrade. So on a go home show, on a 3-hour show, this is probably just a bit of a filler.
Oh yeah, there were a lot of
filler. It was
of filler.
Go homie.
Yeah.
We were kind of talking about that super go homie. Yeah. For 3 hours, it was even worse.
It was the regular go homie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the go homiest. There was an incredibly well put together video package for Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes that to me, I'm watching it going, like, I have no idea how any objective viewer could side with Cody Rhodes over Kevin Owens at this point, but it is. I mean, perhaps you side with Randy Orton over Cody Rhodes.
Sure.
That was the guy who took the worst of it. Oh no! Did we lose? We lost lights on Kate. Oh no! Now we're back, kind of. Okay.
I quit. Yeah.
You've got a localized brownout on that one particular. We're just getting. That's what we're doing for you, but we'll be fine. We're good.
We're gonna survive.
We'll be fine.
Please send prayers for us right now. Thank you.
Yeah,
we're gonna save your prayers for someone that is more in need than me. There's certainly those, especially in the Northeast, right after what happened in Philly. But that video package was great. Like I'm not the person to ask about being objective with Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens because I have such a Kevin Owens bias, but I agree with you in that both the video package and the story, Cody hasn't had like a ton of fire in the retort. I actually liked what we got in the beginning. One thing I give them credit for on this road to the Royal Rumble is we talked at length about like the amount of oxygen that's been eaten up by people declaring and talking about how they think they are going to win the Royal Rumble. That has been really an overkill thing on the show, but they have done a good job of like, it feels like almost, I didn't watch the Attitude Era, but like from what I've gone back and watched, like everybody had a problem with everybody. And this kind of feels like that. Like it's way less like you're a good guy and I'm a good guy. So we're on the same side of things. Like, this has been much more complex relationship. So I actually didn't even hate the way that this opened with CM Punk and Kevin Owens either, because Kevin Owens was like, everybody's looking past the fact that I'm going to be champion. And I like that Punk came out and said, you know, you have this resume, right? You did main event WrestleMania. I love that people keep throwing that in his face. But then, like, this is what's so funny about Punk being a face. I've always heard that the heel thing is, you build someone up before you tear them down. So that way, when you beat someone, you're beating someone credible. That's like the old Chris Jericho-ism of all things. But Punk did that as a face. And I kind of prefer that side of CM Punk. Because babyface, I don't want to hear this guy talk about hockey ever again.
I know.
I don't want to hear this guy talk about the sold-out crowd wherever we are. That is like Cody Rhodes, John Cena. That is that archetype. CM Punk, talk to me about what is going on with the other people on the show and fighting them. Like, that is his wheelhouse, much better, in my opinion, on the heel side. But, like, I liked that opening because I felt like everybody should have problems with everybody, because I feel like there's three front runners for who's probably going to win Rumble. But, like, they've done a good enough job in making me believe that, like, there's a few that if they won, I wouldn't be completely shocked, but would be fun. So even like seeing that and then seeing this video package, it does a better job of making me feel like maybe Kevin Owens does have a shot because he is so justified. People are underestimating him and he's just so damn good at his job. So aces all around for that stuff.
So Tiffany Stratton is on her way to the ring. And she is stopped by Zelina Vega, who we found out on Monday was coming to SmackDown. And a lot of people were like, oh, great, they'll put her with Andrade. That'll really help him out because he was at his peak when he was working alongside her. And she comes in and says, I want the title. And she was a token challenger for both Rhea and for Liv. And so she's going to be a token challenger for Tiffany. And I feel like there's, I don't know, better uses of
sure.
A, title matches, so they're not token ones, and B, I think Zelina is much better utilized in a different role than that. She may be like, I want to be a wrestler, and that's fine. But if they're really going to have her be that, then I would say she should beat other people on SmackDown before getting a shot against Tiffany, because I don't know the last time I saw her win a match on Raw before she moved to SmackDown.
Yeah, I mean, she's never had a defense with a real story about it. The one in Puerto Rico was the closest because she at least had, it meant something to her. So that was good. Liv was just like, oh, we haven't built up literally anybody else for Rhea Ripley, so we'll throw this match together. this, I guess they're thinking, like, she's coming over from SmackDown. Maybe this is a way to make it feel like a big deal. Or, I'm sorry, coming over from Raw. Maybe this is a way to make it feel like a big deal. Her not immediately pairing up with Andrade means, one, that'll happen down the road, or just confirmed Aleister Black returned and he's going to be working on SmackDown. Like, that's kind of what that felt like to me. Mr. Cardoza?
Oh, sorry. I thought you was Zelina.
Zelina.
I was waiting to see if you guys were going to say anything else.
I'm coming for the title.
I'll tell you something about Zelina. It's unfortunate. We had her on, on Wrestling with Freddie, and she spoke candidly about not wanting to be a valet, and she really wants to freaking wrestle. You know, like, she really wants to put herself out there, and she wants to, you know, she doesn't have to. She even says she doesn't have to hold championships, but she wants to be in the mix. Like, she wants to fight, which is, to me, tells you that you should just put her out there. Put her out there. Who cares? Let her challenge people. Let her build her a storyline.
Yeah, put her in a...
So into her coming in and challenging Chelsea Green. Building her up. Up straight up for the World Women's title.
Yeah.
Off of doing no winning on Raw, like, to me, is another symptom of this whole thing that wins and losses don't matter across the board. We just push a button on a console and now you're the title challenger. And I don't like that for anybody. I would love to see Zelina Vega getting matches against people and winning them.
I think the last meaningful situation that she was in was when she was Queen of the Ring.
Yeah. I mean, that's
built on a tournament of 2-minute matches. Like,
that I was, know. That yeah. So that goes to show you, like, how, you know, I don't know, man. And then she got put in with LWO and did nothing there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's unfortunate. She has the talent. I don't want to see her being wasted. That's the wrong word, but, you know, not being used in the right direction.
Not even close to what her ceiling could be.
Sure. Yeah.
For sure.
Tiffany is introduced by Michael Cole and Pat McAfee. So that is the third time in the broadcast that I muted my device I was watching.
It was Indianapolis. We were going to be getting a lot of Pat.
I know, but I did not hear a thing that he said when Tiffany came out. Then I unmuted. I don't know why I thought maybe we might get the Charlotte Flair thing here.
I did too,
because we already know she's going to be in the Rumble. There's not a big surprise.
Yeah.
And basically her coming out and being like, when I win tomorrow, I'm coming for you. Don't think I haven't been watching you, mini me. Don't think I haven't been watching you. I've been watching you. I'm coming for that title. That's mine. What you're carrying, that belongs to the queen. Like, I thought maybe we might get that, which builds a whole bunch of intrigue for her winning the Royal Rumble. We already know she's going to be in it. She declared it in her video package or whatever. In her video package tonight, she says she was self-made, which I might quibble with. But I think that she, coming after Tiffany, if she wins the Rumble tomorrow, would be the plan. So there's not doing Rhea versus Charlotte again. So she's coming after Tiffany. So this little tease on the air might be it. And also maybe more worth it for the fans who paid astronomical prices to come here and see that they get the actual return of Charlotte Flair. That would be a nice thing to give them. But we did not get that. We got Candice LeRae instead.
Mm.
I don't understand why you spoiled the Royal Rumble surprise if you're not going to do that.
You know what I mean?
Like, for just two vignettes of her return, that seems kind of silly. Sorry to use such a strong word, but it does. It just flat out seems silly.
Silly is, now do you, I'm going to give you a chance to walk that back.
Silly? Strong words, Kate.
That's just some strong words.
I'll go as far as this. I think it makes them a silly goose. How about that?
Can we mute that? Is there any way we can, Louise, can you rewind that for us, please?
Kate, do not reflect the opinions of Fightful.
Yes.
Or Jimmy Van Ink, or whatever he calls his thing.
And Double A. Can't forget about Double A.
All right.
It's true.
My lawyers just called me.
But sincerely, why are you ruining the surprise if you're not going to have them?
Right?
Have them barb, and you have a 3-hour show. The vignettes for Charlotte have been cool. I actually kind of like them. I think it's funny that, like, people are like, oh, it's a new Charlotte Flair. I was like, no, this is the same character, just presented really cool. But I've appreciated them, of people being like, people say I'm cocky and overkill or whatever. And she's like, why wouldn't I be? I worked my ass off to get here. I'm one of the best women's wrestlers in the world. Beautiful. Rock and roll. That's a great way to have her character lock in with Tiffany Stratton's character as well. But I feel like you should just do the promo battle. Otherwise, just have her be a Royal Rumble surprise.
Surprise me. Surprise me. If I'm paying $17 billion to be. Yeah, you did. If I'm paying $17 billion to be part of the biggest night record breaking of Royal Rumble ever in history of the earth, I want to be surprised.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that she's coming. Let me play with it in my head that she might be there. Just like we've been waiting for AJ Lee to show up for the last 32 years, right? So you don't ruin that surprise. You just let her show up.
Mm-hmm. I would pop very, very large for an AJ Lee return. Mm-hmm. Not only because she'd be back, but I've been trying to light him up for like the past hour and a half in my apartment or so. Yeah. So it would be nice. But you know what? Out of all the electricity issues and connectivity issues I had getting on here, mm-hmm. I didn't have to worry about the security. You know why?
Mm-hmm. Why's that?
I got NordVPN, baby!
Oh, look at you.
I got NordVPN. You want to know how I watch SmackDown? NordVPN. I'd take a little trip to Canada. I watch it on my Netflix now. Life is all right, but we're going to have Sean Rossap tell you more about it.
Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
As I said, Candice LeRae came out. And she said, I am declaring for the Royal Rumble. And I'm going to... What? I love you, Candice. You're great. I really do. I wish this company had booked you since you got here in the way that they probably should have, and you would be a serious contender to win the Royal Rumble. But unfortunately, that's just not a thing that I think is all that possible.
Well, Alex, I declare for Royal Rumble and I'm probably going to lose. Doesn't feel like a promo.
I understand. I understand. I don't honestly don't understand. Like, she wasn't even there really to declare for the Royal Rumble. She's there to run a distraction on Tiffany so that Nia Jax can attack her from behind. That is what she's there for. Now, not Candace is backed into a corner by Tiffany Stratton, who does not like the things that Candace is saying about her. And then we can clearly see Candice LeRae looking over Tiffany's shoulder at Nia Jax barreling toward them. And we can clearly see Candace say, move, 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 move. To like give Tiffany the timing of when to get out of the way. You could figure out a better shot than that, so we don't obviously see the workings of the kayfabe. But whatever. Nia Jax comes in.
Back. It's a tribute.
Yeah. There you go.
The crowd sure didn't give it away.
Yeah. Nia comes in and is able to take over and destroy Tiffany and hit her. So my thing is that Nia Jax is apparently currently, and that probably almost certainly changes tomorrow, but Nia Jax is the only serious contender for either title.
Mm.
This one makes sense. The one with Rhea, I don't even know what like, it's because they spent months not even attempting to build a secondary world title for the women challenger on Raw. They didn't even attempt to. So it was just Liv and Rhea, and that was it. So that once Rhea got the title, they're not going to do it with Liv again. So there's nobody. So we have to bring Nia Jax over from SmackDown, which is just, to me, poor planning. I don't think anybody should be the sole contender on either brand for any title. That seems weird. So what they did with Nia Jax is they've done that. Now we're getting back to Nia versus Tiffany, which I think is the match at Elimination Chamber. I think that's the match we get for that. But Tiffany moves past that to face the person who almost certainly will win the Royal Rumble tomorrow, Charlotte Flair, and not Candice LeRae.
Mm.
Yeah, I agree with pretty much everything you said. Nia was another one that I was like, why didn't they just have her declare this week instead of ahead of Saturday night's main event? That made no sense in last week's segment. But I don't love that either, and I like it even less when you have a transfer portal, quote-unquote, because like it seems like you had to go through the portal to permanently stay on a brand, but also we've seen people go back through the portal just to show up once and then return, like Drew McIntyre and Chad Gable. So like it just got so silly around that. I said it again. This is probably my...
You're dropping S-bombs over again.
It is silly. It's goofy, too. How about that?
Whoa.
That's...
I've been naming Disney characters all day.
You're getting out of hand tonight.
I am. I'm a little feisty after everything that happened with my power, but
you are. Well, I'm glad you're here.
I think Candice LeRae probably doesn't win the Royal Rumble. Do you guys have any thoughts on like it feels like Charlotte's gonna win? We have way less people declared. Do you think like I feel like Jordynne Grace is for sure, right? AJ Lee would be a fun shout. I think it would be awesome if Masha Slamovich also showed up. I think it would be awesome if my lights stayed on for more than 10 seconds. So I don't really get a lot of what I want. But do you think there are any surprises that might change the course of things? Or do you think we're just going to kind of get a couple nostalgia pops? And
I think that the two title matches for the women are Tiffany versus Charlotte and Rhea versus Bianca. If they screw up and don't do Rhea versus Bianca again this
year, gonna quit.
I'm not gonna quit, but that will show how that they just don't have their priorities in order in the women's division. Yeah. But I think that those are the so one of them wins the Elimination Chamber and the other one wins the Rumble. I think it's more likely that they have Charlotte come back, win the Rumble, and then have Bianca figure out a way to get into the Elimination Chamber as a singles wrestler. That whole thing with Jade muddies up all of that.
I don't know
how that's all going. So those are the two things that I think are there. So that to me, it's just whatever order you get in. The men is interesting to me because there's a lot of different things. I think Cena certainly is where he should be at plus 100, but there's nobody who's a favorite in the men.
Agreed.
That's really interesting to me as well. But I do think for the women, it's one or the other because those are the two title matches we're getting.
I'm with you. Do you think there's any, do you have any outliers for like fun returns for either match? Like just any fun ones?
No, they're just the ones that I hate. People who
just nostalgia ones.
People who've been retired for 10 years and have no business being in a, you win this match and you get a world title shot. I despise nostalgia pops in the Royal Rumble. You're not going to win. Don't get into the match.
Do you think we get any NXT ones? Do you think we get like Trick?
I hope so.
Roxanne
I'm okay with. Roxanne winning, yeah.
Dragunov coming back if he's ready, which he probably is because he's a maniac.
Healthy, yeah, sure. Bring him back. I like the ones that from NXT because that is interesting to me. But I want the top 30 current names or returning to be a full-time wrestler
sure
to be in it. AJ Lee would be fun, but only if AJ Lee is going to stick around to me. Like
sure.
Her just being in it kind of just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I was about to drop something, but I'm not.
I'm okay with
a limited number of them because like I don't think there's a ton of difference between the top 27 women in the on the roster being in it and the top 30. I just don't like I went to one year I went and the Boogeyman came out and I was like, that doesn't feel necessary. Like, I don't need that so much.
You just honestly put that out there. You know, he's going to do that now.
It got a huge pop. It was four people, but I also started watching in 2009. Right. So it was the most not for me, but I'm good with some nostalgia pops. I don't think I need to see like, I hate to do this because it's like no offense to Trish Stratus, but like I don't need to see Trish Stratus in the Royal Rumble. I'm wondering if we get Nikki Bella, but we'll see.
100%.
It seems like she's been kicking around since the Netflix thing.
Broadway Joe says Rhea Bianca over Rhea Io. Alex, come on, you want it. I mean, I would absolutely take Rhea Io as a consolation prize, but I want Rhea Bianca. I've wanted Rhea Bianca for two straight years. That's what
they,
I wanted.
They gave
years
it
ago.
To us. Yeah, like they teased, you know, it to us already.
It's to me, it is the best representation of these are the top two women we have on our roster. Why would we not find a way, since we control things, to have them face each other at the biggest night for our company? I didn't understand why they didn't do it last year. I didn't understand why they didn't do it the year before, especially because 2 years ago, it really felt like they were up and comers to like challenge. We're going to shift the paradigm around us. These other women, they're great, but they're in the past. According to us, we're moving forward. Now they are absolutely the present day. You can't say that either of them are up and comers now. They're the present day. Let's do it. I love EO. You haven't done a lot with her recently to make me go, that's somebody I think is on a win streak and ready to go. She lost to Lyra Valkyria for the thing, and I just felt like it was that.
Well, you know, let's throw this possibility out there. If Asuka comes back, Io and Asuka for the tag titles would be a whole hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah,
that could be fun. She's invaluable to what she brings to the roster. I would love to see her and Rhea someday, but you're right in that they teased this at Royal Rumble 2.5 years ago, mm-hmm. or like 3 years ago when we thought we were getting it 2.5 mm-hmm. years ago. Cardoza, where do you sit on this? Are you Rhea Bianca or Rhea Io, or where's your head at?
I'd go with the money. You know me, I love my big women beating the crap out of each other. Rhea and Bianca would be the moneymaker match right there. I do believe that they're gonna throw Jade into this as well. I think that she'll
Specter of Jade returning from being slammed onto a car.
Yeah, it just feels like something's happening.
Throw the wrench into it.
Yes, that's the wrench. There's gonna be unfortunately, they haven't done this a lot, but they've always in the new regime. But I always remember the women's matches always had some type of wrench thrown into the mix. I don't know why. Yeah. Like as if two women couldn't freaking handle a main event.
Right.
Freaking.
Why is
there
always
thing?
Wrenches? Such
could it be a hammer? Would you like hammer? A hammer? Hammer sounds like
driver.
Hammer just sounds very violent. Like, oh God, your lights went out again. Yeah. Reporting from the darkness
this is
Kate.
Is what I'm up against today. All right, Alex, you can host the show. I also just didn't see half of it, so I thought I would chime in with my own little play.
Fine. Luis wants EO winning the Rumble when he thinks Cena's 1,000% winning. I would like EO, but like it's to me, you do Rhea and Bianca before you can't anymore. We've seen people who anything can happen in this business.
Yes,
for things that like we've seen a former world champion, his career gone in an instant, taking a move that people take all the time,
or we even his contracts.
We saw on Monday. JD McDonagh suffers severe internal injuries and a concussion in a move that looked dangerous enough that what happened to him to have seriously, seriously injured him. Mm-hmm. So, like, I just say when both you have Rhea and Bianca, they're both healthy, they're both at the top of their game, do it now. Who knows if maybe one of them gets dinged up in the Rumble next year and they have to miss Mania. Like, all of a sudden, that's two years in a row you missed it. Like, you can just keep going and going and going.
I think Rhea and Bianca are lifers, but I also thought that about Sasha Banks. I thought Cody Rhodes was an AEW lifer. They didn't do the Four Horsewomen match. They didn't do the Shield triple threat.
Yeah.
Like, take advantage of the things while you have them because you don't know at all what's on the way.
What is on the way for Damian Priest appears to be something with Santos Escobar. I want Santos Escobar wrestling again. Wouldn't that be cool? I don't get
that one.
But he and Damian Priest have a little meeting face to face. They said some things in Spanish. Alexis Cardoza can translate if he wants to. I'm not your friend, basically. I don't know why we're talking.
And Santos was
just trying to be a friendly face coming in here. Hey, it's nice to see you coming into SmackDown. I just wanted to offer you some friendly advice. And Damian Priest rejects that wholesale. Says, I'll see you around, says Santos. Santos growing the beard back out because he realized he made a mistake. And then, speaking of mistakes, R-Truth, who shows up and does his shtick that I can't stand. Everybody else loves it. I don't. It was fine. He says, I'm on Raw. Get it? This man in kayfabe absolutely needs professional help, and the people who can continue to not give it to him are very abusive, I think. He has some kind of mental problems. He believes he's on Raw when he's clearly on SmackDown. He also thinks he's going to be drafted to Level Up, which is a show that doesn't exist anymore. He says to Damian Priest, welcome here, whatever. And then Damian Priest talks to LA Knight about the match tonight. We're not friends. We're teaming together. Don't worry. I'll throw you over the top rope tomorrow. I also will throw you over the top rope tomorrow, while Nakamura paces menacingly in the background. And that was the scene.
I'm intrigued to see the combination of things. I hope Santos Escobar is healthy and going to be utilized in the ring soon. That's all I'll say about this. But mm-hmm. He's just trying to be nice.
Yeah.
Just trying to be nice.
Yeah.
So. I don't fight.
Anybody have nice things to say about Ron Killings R-Truth? Because he's chick. Has never been one for me, but I understand everybody else likes it, so I want to give the floor to people who would like to pay it compliments.
It's not my favorite thing either, but he's great. Like he's never missed on like comedic timing with stuff or like being fully committed to this. So I'm more with you where it's not the most for me thing in the world, but I can certainly say a lot about the guy behind it because it is for a lot of people, and he's not the thing I don't like about it. He's very, very good. So I'll pay compliments to that all day. I did actually think going back to Level Up, which does not exist, is kind of funny too, just because it feels like feels almost Rookie Tony Stormish, like a little bit more DeLulu in that particular way. So I'll take that. But yeah, Cardoza, if you have anything you want to chime in with.
No, I'm with you. That's about it.
LA Knight and Damian Priest versus the Fatu and Tama Tonga. In the chat during our watch along, we were just saying, so this Damian Priest pins Tama Tonga with the choke slam with the South of Heaven. And then that's what happened. You know, like it's when you can just, when you put together a match like this, because you're beginning a feud with, between Damian Priest and Jacob Fatu, and Jacob Fatu has a lesser than tag partner who's a guy who's there to eat pins. That's how this works. You just know what this is. It's a go home segment. It builds the feud between Damian and Fatu. LA Knight has no love for Fatu. He's a big star. You put him in this with Damian Priest, maybe start an alliance between the two of them. Fine. This is just what it is. It's solid work from all four of them because they're all four of them solid wrestlers. It just becomes like you're just waiting for, okay, 1 minute till the hour. There's the choke slam. You just wait for it and it happens. There was some good stuff in here. I really, really enjoyed Tama Tonga wriggling his way out of a razor's edge directly into a sleeper hole. That was really cool. Very clever. I like that a lot. They did a lot to make Tama Tonga look competent and not like the obvious lesser than guy here, because he's not. Tama Tonga is very good, but it was just like the way they put it together well just became very obvious that was what's going to happen. And the thing that happened afterwards was equally as obvious, where Jacob Fatu gets into the ring and assaults Damian Priest and beats the hell out of him as we see the executive producers' names, and then they fade to black.
This match was fun. It was nice to see Tama Tonga in the ring get to stretch his legs a little bit. Like, we've gotten so much character focus in the Bloodline 2.0 stuff, and Tama Tonga hasn't gotten to really show what he can do in the ring. So, to your point, he can do some really clever things like that. And because I think it's so apparent that Jacob Fatu is the next guy, sometimes the other people tend to fall to the wayside. Mm-hmm. This is actually, to me, a perfectly suitable thing to have on a go-home show, because it kind of kickstarts a feud that's going to be happening after in a logical way. So I don't mind that. Also introduces the SmackDown crowd to Damian Priest and gets to show what he can do a little bit if you have been more of a SmackDown watcher than a Raw watcher. So I actually kind of liked this sitting on this episode. And I agree with you. That was a cool little move by Tama Tonga. It was nice to see that from him. And he's more special than he's gotten to show. I don't know if he's ever going to be able to show to the full extent what he can do. Mm-hmm. I don't know if my lights are going to stay on. There's just a lot of uncertainty in this world, but
so much uncertainty right now.
I hope we get to see more showcases like this, because it was fun.
Yeah, it was a good match. It's a typical, sitting there watching it, it felt like a typical, Damian Priest match. You know, he's a very big, overpowering individual, a lot of grunting, so kind of brought what he was doing on Raw over to SmackDown to show off his, you know, and who better, like. He picked them up like a feather, man, and just knocked him. It would have been really cool if it would have been Jacob, but you can't do that to Jacob. You can't.
No.
You can't make him look soft right now. He's a beast. As long as they stop continuing to call him the damn Street King, I'll be okay. Whatever the hell they were trying to call him.
One thing I really appreciated about
King of the Streets.
King of the Streets. There it is. Yeah.
I believe that's true.
Jesus Christ.
One thing I really appreciate about Fatu is he has been so versatile in the way that he's adapted to every setting that he's promoted in, because MLW did not have this support, right? Like, it doesn't have this level of production. When they do those little walk and talk segments backstage, when they do in-ring promos, when he's just using his facial expressions to tell stories, like, he is adapting so well to a brand that doesn't always absorb characters like this. Yeah. Particularly authentically or well, so I really love seeing that from him. Mm-hmm. But good stuff. I'm glad that they seem to recognize what they have with this guy. I think he's gonna, obviously, I don't think he's going to win Rumble tomorrow, but I think he's gonna have, like, he's gonna be the guy that has the really good showing. Like, how in the Home Run Derby, the guy that has the most impressive showing is so rarely the guy that wins, at least under old rules in the Home Run Derby. Yeah. Like, a lot of times in Royal Rumble, the guy that has, like, ring-clearing elimination spots and really cool showings.
We talked about this, that I if I was booking it, I would have Omos come in and just wreck everything. Like, power bombs, choke slams, eliminate a couple of guys. And the very next dude is Jacob Fatu, who wrecks Omos.
Mm-hmm. That's a really fun idea.
And everybody goes, oh, crap, we are screwed. Like, there's stuff you can do with Jacob. People were talking about him in the Elimination Chamber doing moonsaults off of Pog and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was telling him. I was like, I would love to see him in the Elimination Chamber doing a freaking, like, let him go ape shit. Like, go wild, start, like, spearing people and super kicking them through the plexiglass, and then just do a giant freaking backwards moonsault off the freaking top of the pod.
Right.
Why not?
Yeah. There's a lot of fun stuff we can do. You can do with a guy like Jacob Fatu. Mm.
How do you keep him and Oba apart in this, though? Because Oba's got to show up with that NXT title.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you keep them apart. You just have Oba stay on NXT.
In the Rumble match.
Oh, no, I wouldn't put Oba in the Rumble match.
No?
Now that he's the NXT champion, I wouldn't put it. Because I wouldn't put him in the Rumble match.
I mean, you would, but you would also have him win it, and then.
Yeah, that's the thing. I wouldn't put him in it because he can't win it right this year. Sure. So if he's in the every Rumble match he enters, he will win, obviously. So if it's not his time to win the Rumble, then he can't be in it. So that's the way it works. Just Ricardo had sent this earlier. Says, "I'm home, lovelies. I hope you're all good." With pointing fingers at grapes.
We love it. Ricardo works on Friday night, so normally he's sending it in. But now that we're on an hour later, he gets to watch from home sometimes, which is nice. So thank you.
And Meet Norma says, thanks to Kate and Netflix for curing my clavicle deficiency. Step it up, Alex. Hold on. Is this?
Hold on, Daddy. Not really. You can't see mine, but really, yeah.
My clavicle's not really my best.
Clavicles are looking good, babe. I've been working out.
Now let's crank. Fatu for the men, Bianca for the ladies, top meat out. I was saying this, man. They should just decide whatever their plans were. Fatu wins. They should just do that.
I literally said that on social media. I was like, change of plan. Jacob Fatu wins everything.
Like, this is it, man. You have an opportunity to do a really cool thing you never ever do, which is a genuine shocker surprise in the Rumble that never happens. I think the Fatu doing it, people would not be expecting it at all.
People didn't expect it in 2011 when Alberto Del Rio won, and I was there.
People didn't expect it in a different way, though. And then Kylie the Gamer Princess says, why should I worry? Why should I care? Do you remember that movie? I do. My daughter loves that movie. Oliver and Company.
There you go.
With Billy Joel is doing all the songs. And then says, anyways, love you all. We love you, Kylie, always.
Hell yeah, we do.
All right. Thanks, everybody. That's it. That's it
for thanks, everybody, including my two Alexes on screen for helping out today. Very thankful that we have people that work here that I can, on 10 minutes notice, be like, can you host the show and we'll come in and be professionals? I very, very, very much appreciate it. I also don't know if this was talked about already, so... trigger warning e things.
We didn't talk about it. Didn't get brought up. So.
Yeah.
I don't want to dive into any details, but I do just want to reiterate that if it's on Fightful Select, it's going to be on the free tier. A lot of the information is public in regards to this, but if it's on Fightful Select, it is not paywalled. That's something that's very important to Sean and very important to me, and I'm very thankful that that's how Sean operates. But just so you guys know. We also do have a free tier. You can see the headlines of what's on the paid tier, and if you like what you see, you can subscribe from there. But we will have Grapsody tomorrow. We'll obviously have the Royal Rumble post show that's going to be hosted by Phil and Iridian. No Collision post show, but you'll have me and Alex Pulaski behind the paywall. So come hang out with us there, reviewing Royal Rumble. Thin card, obviously, because you got two Rumble matches on it. Those are both going to take like an hour. We know they're trying to get in and out of that. So lots going on this weekend. Please subscribe to Fightful Select. There's already posts up about what's going on. Sean did kind of a rundown of here's who's healthy, who's in town, here's whatever. It is spoiler alerted back there. So if you don't want to see it, it is protected in that way. But more coming out of Royal Rumble weekend, I'm sure Sean is there. So he always comes back with great information. So stay tuned to FightfulSelect.com. But most importantly, hang out with me and Alex. You're going to want to see our little review ski. All right. So hang out. But thank you so much. Also, please subscribe to this YouTube channel. We got a lot of great content coming out, including probably a couple of interviews that Sean got while he was in Indianapolis. So thank you so much. Have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. I miss Kate Fabe on social media. I'll let these fellas plug their stuff before we get out if they want. Or we can just wave like celebrities.
I'm just waving. Yeah.
I'm ambidextrous waving so I can end the stream.